You're listening to the Faith Shaping Podcast for March 26, 2006, sharing faith journeys through authentic Christian living. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. My name is Tim Nolte, and I'm your host. And I'd like to encourage you to check out the website if you're new to the podcast and get a little background into where I'm coming from and what this podcast is all about. Today's topic is on the subject of character and accountability. And I just want to give you a little bit of background onto the source of this podcast and where I'm coming from. I am deviating a little bit from the next life shape, which is the square in the Life Shapes book. We've kind of started out with just an introduction on general life shapes living and did the learning circle and the triangle and the semicircle, and not necessarily in that order, but those shapes. This week, however, I'm taking a step back, and we're going to be talking about the life shapes a little bit as well, and bring in the shapes of the learning circle and the triangle, and even talk about the square a little bit and how those kind of interconnect with what the subject that we're talking about today. And yeah, that subject is character and accountability. The background into that is this weekend I had an opportunity to go to a conference in Fargo, North Dakota. I was invited to that conference by a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine. And that subject, that conference was called March Madness. And it's kind of funny. I originally thought it was March Madness, which was kind of weird because isn't that the basketball name thing that's going on with the college basketball or whatever it is? Well, I had kind of misheard it. Come to find out at the conference that there was an intentional play on names there because of the season that it's in with the basketball games and the March Madness. They called it March Madness, and it's a men's conference, a small two-day, kind of an evening and a morning conference. And really, I kind of likened it to a small mini Promise Keepers. And I've never been to Promise Keepers, neither has my friend, but this is kind of the first step, and I think we both may end up going to a Promise Keepers from as an outcome of just experiencing this, or for sure if we get an opportunity to go to this again in a year from now, if I'm still around. And anyways, the subject of the conference this year was on character, and specifically character that makes a difference. And it talked a lot about just different aspects of having a godlike character and living that out in different ways, and how our character as men specifically, but really, I mean, if we really think about it, it's character in general, not just men, people of all ages, people of all ages, yes, but also men and women, and how our character can be. Damaged, and there's a battle for our character. Satan is battling to hurt our character and make our character less in the eyes of others. And anyways, I'm going to just start there with the subject of the battle for our character. And some of the things that were talked about is really this conference had an aspect of really men's roles in their families for the most part, and how right now Satan is fighting us in this world, and how where his battle is starting is in our families. There has been there's evidence. I mean, you can look at it all around that the problems in this world and the way our country has gone really comes down to the breaking down of the family. Family as God designed it. We look at how we have fathers that are missing, or mothers that are missing, single parent families. We have aspects of abuse or neglect by parents. And I mean, a lot of it honestly comes down to parents. And I don't want to rag on parents at all. I mean, crying out loud, I'm not a parent. Who am I to you know, talk about, you know, the failings of parents, but that is where the basis of our family begins. It's with parents, and parents, you know, really their relationship with God. I mean, if we think about it, people that do not have a personal relationship with Christ, they have that aspect of their life missing, and they have no true guidance for how families are supposed to be managed, or how you're supposed to bring up your children, and how you're supposed to treat your spouse. All that is, I mean, God gives us truth in that. And when we deviate from that, that's when Satan attacks. That's he uses those opportunities, because those are our weakest points, to attack us, and in an effort to destroy our families. And when he is able to hurt our families, it breaks down our witness. It hurts our witness to our families, to our children, but to the people around us, people that see how we interact with our children, how we respond to our children when they let us down or don't obey us, how we interact with our spouses, and when there's disagreement, how we handle that and deal with that. People around us, if they observe those things, I mean, that's our witness. And how we are following through and following Christ and his example, and what he gives us as, you know, how families should be. You know, God gives us truth, and he has a plan for our lives, and he has a specific plan on how families are to be managed and brought up, and how your children are raised. And when we deviate from that, you know, the rest of the world sees that. And especially, you know, as Christians, we can be looked upon as being very hypocritical. I mean, that's, I think, one of the biggest problems against the church today and Christians, is that people outside of it, they don't understand exactly they don't have a biblical background to understand that we, even though we are Christians, this doesn't mean that we're these perfect people. They automatically assume that a religion is something where, you know, there's morals you're supposed to live by, which is true. And when they see Christians divided and basically kind of, you know, believing different things and operating differently, or saying, the big thing is being hypocritical, saying one thing when a preacher preaches one thing and they see that the congregation doesn't live that way, it's like, why should I be a part of that? You know, I can live my life and do whatever I want, just like these other Christians are. You know, they're not living a life that's any different than what I'm living. They're just going to church. They're just doing some activity. And that's not what we're called to do. We are called to live by God's commands. I mean, there's an aspect of, you know, the gospel in Christ. He came to, you know, save us from the law, because under the law, we are condemned people. Yet, I still believe that since we are saved from the law, that doesn't mean we disregard the law. And we need to live our lives as, you know, Christ lived his. I mean, he is our example. If we're Christians, I mean, a Christian definition of that is a follower of Christ. And when we deviate from that, when we deviate from that, that is an opportunity for Satan to use our lack of correct witness to turn others away from the Christian faith, or not turn them away, but turn them away from the desire or the idea that, you know, there's something different about these people. I want that in my life. Well, if they can't see a difference in our lives and a good difference, then what's going to make them want what we have? And that's what our witness is. And that's what this, you know, living authentic Christian lives and being a witness and building relationships. It's a matter of, you know, when we build these relationships, we need to be real and we need to share truth with these people and show them that, yes, I fail and I am not okay with my failings, that I am need to go to God every day and ask for forgiveness, and that it's through Christ that that's possible. And, you know, so yeah, that, I mean, that brings in this whole aspect of authentic living. And that was kind of one of the other things they talked about. I mean, their kind of title for was character in the real world, you know, and that's the matter of how we are living out our faith in the real world, in our jobs, in public, and just how other people outside of perhaps even our, you know, our Christian circle, how people see us. You know, are we prone to just lying? Do we have integrity? Do we stand up for what's right and follow the lead of those that are put in position over us? I mean, these are the things that, you know, when it comes to authentic living, it's not about just being good in the church, but it's being good in our, you know, in our entire lives. And I mean, when I say those terms or that term, you know, that phrase being good, I mean, that's, well, I mean, that could be considered relative. That's a relative, you know, phrase. You know, what's good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. But it's not so much a matter of being good, but when we are living in fellowship with God and seeking to follow Christ's example in all areas of our lives, that's what authentic living means. You know, and this weekend was really a challenge to be looking at our lives, especially as men, and evaluating how we interact with people around us. And are we being men of character, of God-like character? You know, are we willing to stand up for what's true and right, despite what peer pressure might tell us to do? You know, there was I had an opportunity to go to a mini session on that was about, well, the title of it had to do with, you know, showing character to the next generation. And I guess I was a little confused when I went, or not confused. I thought kind of, I was expecting one thing, but when I went, you know, it was kind of different. Actually, that happened with both sessions, but the second session, I really didn't care that it was different, because the gentleman that led that session was being true and authentic. He was being real. And that's what we need to show in our lives. It's a matter, it's this fact of being real and not putting on a face. You know, when we fail, we need to be open to going to people and admitting our failures. You know, if we are having a bad day and we snap at somebody, I mean, first of all, you know, if we're having a bad day, I've heard a message on, you know, really, when it comes down to our attitudes for the day, we really choose our attitude, you know. And when we wake up in the morning, we can choose to be happy or we can choose to, you know, be sad. I remember a comment from the same speaker about how, you know, there's the saying, "Oh, you must have gotten out of the wrong side of the bed." You know, he always would want to say, you know, if somebody used that as their excuse, "Well, go home, get back into bed, and get out the right side of the bed." You know, I mean, that's the thing, is our attitude really is a choice. And, you know, that's easier said than done, obviously. And that's where we need God, we need the Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts to guide us and lead us in that and work on us and shape us so that we can do that more effectively or more regularly. But so this aspect of choosing our attitudes, you know, we need to choose to live lives that are full of godly character, you know? And so this gentleman, he was just being very real, and And that's exactly what we need to be doing and having as an example for especially men. Men, when it pertains to our families, you know, I think about if and when I ever have the opportunity, excuse me, of having a family. I desire to be able to do what is right and correct and be there for my kids. I don't ever want to be at fault for leading them in the wrong direction. And I know that I'm not always going to have the right answers or the answers, period. I mean, I still struggle with, you know, what is the right answer? I mean, there's a lot of gray areas, and, you know, we just need to seek out God and have him and ask for him to help us see the right direction to go. I mean, I'm kind of facing that in my own life right now on, you know, Lord, what's next for me? You know, what's your plan? And I'm trying to be patient, and, you know, it can be hard because a lot of times people think, you know, you can't be patient. You just need to make a plan and do it. And, you know, there is an aspect of that, you know, actually that was kind of brought up this weekend too, about not just, you know, sitting idly by, but, you know, God might be prompting you to move and get going, you know. But I think God works in many different ways in our lives and differently at different times. You know, I think there's a time to be patient and to wait. I mean, God calls us to be patient. I mean, he said, love is patient, you know, he loves us dearly. And so we always want things in our timing, and we have to wait for God's timing on things. You know, and, you know, it's true, too. People have told me that, you know, we have brains. God gave us a brain, so we should use them. And yes, there's an aspect of that, too. But when it comes down to us perhaps not knowing what direction we're supposed to go, God might be calling us to patience and waiting for him to show us which way to go. You know, that's an aspect of it, too. And sometimes he wants us to make a move, and he'll, through the move that we make, he'll show us more clearly, you know, what he has in store for us, you know. And if we decide, make one decision, he says, nope, that's not what I wanted, you know, he can close those doors. But, yeah, so kind of got off track here, but this aspect of living authentically is really just following after Christ's example. And the other big thing that, you know, I really want to hit on, and this ties into the life shapes as well, and that's this aspect of accountability. This weekend, I had an opportunity to spend some time at this conference, but not just by myself, but with a dear friend of mine. And he is one of my closest friends, and him and I have just a deep relationship that, you know, it's an eternal relationship. It's a Christ-centered relationship that, you know, him and I mean, we've supported each other through a lot of different things and through a lot of different points in life. And we're, you know, we care about each other a lot. And, you know, it amazes me how, you know, Christian guys feel as though at times that, you know, they've got to kind of do it on their own, and they don't seek out other men to build a relationship where they can, you know, as men, support each other. You know, men and women, while we can support each other when, you know, especially when we're married, you know, our spouse, I mean, we're there for each other. There's a relationship there that's, you know, bound, you know, forever. It's supposed to be, you know, and there's a deep love there. There's a deep connection. But yet at the same time, men and women are different. And I think at times it's very important for women to have other women, or at least wives, to have another woman that they can go to. You know, maybe it's an older woman that, you know, has, you know, more years of experience that can be a mentor, you know, or somebody that's at the same stage in life that can just, they can be sharing with each other aspects of their lives that are maybe harder to share with their husband. Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough subject because, I mean, I truly believe in just an openness and just a huge work on in communication in a, you know, in a marriage relationship. But There's just something else about being in a relationship with somebody that can kind of identify with you. When it comes to men, I mean, we have this responsibility put on us when we are in a family to be the leaders of those families. And boy, being the leader of a family, you know, and kind of the head of the household has so many aspects to it. You know, you're the one that's looked to provide for the family, to provide guidance to the family, and provide in just many ways, you know, that's financially, just guidance and wisdom and spiritual leadership. And man, oh, what a heavy load. And to have another guy that's, you know, at the same stage in life that you are as a man is just a tremendous benefit. And I just don't know how men can do it without that. I know that I am so thankful, and I'm not even married, for the relationship I've had with this friend of mine. And I'm looking to continue that. I mean, he's married now, and, you know, I am in a relationship now and will, you know, I'll probably end up being married, you know, at some point here. And to have him as somebody that I can talk to and, you know, we can just discuss, you know, how are things going in your marriage? You know, I mean, how do you handle this aspect? I mean, how do you handle this pressure? What do you do? And just being there to pray for each other and lift each other up to God and support each other through our own life experiences. And, you know, the life shapes talk about that. I mean, there's an aspect in the learning circle when we're learning of accountability there, you know. And what's interesting, too, as I kind of thought about it, is accountability kind of comes into play in a lot of the different shapes. And, I mean, specifically, the three that I kind of just pulled out and looked at, saw really evidently, is the learning circle, the triangle, and the square. You know, and it got me really thinking about the life shapes, really, if you look at it, they're not just separate shapes. I mean, there are separate shapes, but all those shapes kind of culminate and are kind of intertwined in different aspects. You know, I mean, there's this aspect of the learning circle, and when you get to the accountability part, you know, and the discussion part, that is taking place. I mean, that's kind of connected within the in aspect of the triangle. You know, you can actually look at, you know, I don't know how you would exactly draw that picture. I haven't actually done it. But then when you come to, for instance, the square, you know, the square is also kind of a part of the, it's actually kind of an edge of the in and the out in a way, if you think about it. Because you have that initial leadership, you have some, which could be kind of connected to some of the out and bringing people to the in as you kind of go through through the steps of the square. And while you're in the square, there's a sense of accountability there. And you can have accountability there between leaders for the people that you're discipling. And there's some accountability between even the leader and the disciples, you know, and also between the disciples, the people that are being discipled. So this aspect of accountability really is found in all of life and all aspects of these these life shapes. And really, I mean, that is one of the keys to, you know, living this balanced life. You know, we've got our up relationship with God, and we've got our out relationship doing outreach with non-believers. But then there's that in relationship, and that's kind of where the accountability really happens. And it's the accountability in our up relationship and the accountability to our out relationship. You know, and when we kind of bring that in closer to an aspect of having another individual that can call us and keep us accountable to how effectively we're doing our in relationship, you know, besides the up and the out. Well, I want to probably just kind of close things off there a little bit. I tell you, this weekend was just very powerful, and I really thank God for the opportunity I had this weekend to experience what I had and really come away with a sense of being challenged in my life and how I'm living my life, and the aspect of having an opportunity to be accountable. And, you know, that's something that my friend and I, we both talked about. We really need to be keeping in contact more. I mean, he's not right in town. You know, that's one aspect of accountability that if you don't have somebody right there, it can be a lot harder, but it's not impossible. You know, there is such things as a phone and you can talk. I mean, that's what being accountable is about. It's talking. And so that's something that, that we're looking to do. And just, kind of going back, I mean, this whole aspect of having a character of God, you know, and really having an authentic faith and an authentic Christian life is really where my heart's at. And that's really where I'm coming at with this podcast, and using this podcast as an opportunity to share my life in a real authentic way and the questions I have and what God's teaching me, you know. And I really think the more people can do that and not live in this, you know, fake kind of Christian image type of life, you know, that's when real Christian community, the kind of community, the kind of church that Christ intended to have come about, that's when you can experience that kind of a community and community of believers. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast again this week. And, you know, I still don't get a lot of feedback. I do check the kind of the traffic, and it's amazing to see where people are coming from. So people are coming from even as far places around the world, and don't get any responses back from anybody. But hey, I'm just thankful that I've got this opportunity to share with people in one small way. And if God can use this to touch even one person's life, then it's all worth it. And I've said that before. And, you know, if you are interested, or if you have any questions about anything I'm saying, or you want to challenge me, you know, please do that. Challenge me in my thinking and what I feel God teaching me. I am open to that. I am looking to be able to refine and just draw closer to God in my daily life and really be seeking His truth. And if there are people that are out there that are wanting to help me come to a better understanding of His truth, I am definitely open to that. And, you know, so please leave any feedback if you'd like. Well, this, I'm going to come to a close here. Thank you once again, and God bless.